In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Joanne, what happened? We don't have any young ladies? Okay. Make sure to help them. Prom isn't an excuse. Okay. So what do we have going on this week? This week there's something that I want to share with you that's kind of difficult and hard. Sister Anne isn't with us. And the reason why is because you may remember a beautiful woman who had given herself to God in such a rich way into our own parish here by the name of Sister Helen. Sister Helen went away from our community in the year 2015 to go back because she was unable to continue her ministry here. Remember, for so long, she labored on behalf of so many of us to make sure that those in the latter stages of religious education would come to know Christ in an intimate way and be able to receive the fullness of initiation as confirmed Catholics. On Wednesday, we found out she was in her last days, and so she is. Sister Anne left yesterday to go be with her. She was struggling because she knew she had a mission here, but she also felt helpless without her dear sister who she'd labored alongside here in our community for really the whole of her life as a religious sister. Reminded her on Friday, Sister Anne, your vocation is just like everybody else's vocation. First, to holiness. That means to be in heaven with God forever. Second, your vocation is to be a religious sister, a bride of Christ, just as some of you are called to marriage, others of you called to priesthood and the diaconate or to consecrated life. And her third vocation is the mission that she lives out with us, the thing that she does to serve God here with us. And because her vocation to be with her sisters comes before that, it ranks higher, she needs to go and be with her sisters first. So she went, and she'll be with there for the duration of the time until God calls Sister Helen home, until her proper Christian burial is officiated over. So right now, I know that Sister Helen has done so much to help us here in our community. So let's commend her in these vital hours of her last trial to Our Lady, in whom she put her trust so much. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Saint Joseph, patron of a happy death, pray for her. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because Sister Anne won't be here with us this upcoming week, her class still meets the day that she would be teaching. But also, in addition to that, there are some things that had to be canceled. The Sisters of St. Joseph, the Associates, they will not meet this week. Neither the Hijas de Maria or the Children's Choirs. None of them will meet this week. But her class on Wednesday will still go forward for her sixth graders. I will be teaching them. And so I invite anybody who wants to come. If you just happen to be free during that time, sit in on our class. We're going to talk about various things that are important, question and answer style, to be able to go through it. She set me a couple things to do, but then once we finish with that, we'll open it up to whatever questions anybody has. If you want to be a part of that, come join us. The more the merrier. We're going to talk more about what happens at Mass over the next couple of weeks and months here during the time of the homily. Now, this is the time of the year that the Archbishop asks us all to come together, and he wants me to read a letter that he wrote himself and addressed to you, dated the first of this year, 2020, January 1. And so I want to give that to you right now. Hear the words of the Archbishop. He begins, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, blessings in this new year make you and your family have a graced 2020. By virtue of our baptism, like the first disciples, each of us are called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. We must continue to have courage to evangelize and to serve people in the Archdiocese of Santa Fe. The Church exists in order to evangelize. Your contribution this year to the annual Catholic Appeal Foundation directly impacts ministry work to the most marginalized of our communities. Donations help clergy to be prepared in seminary for priestly service, lay ministers to serve the most vulnerable populations within the Archdiocese. But the gospel message is also offered to those who are struggling with addictions, the incarcerated, those living with disabilities, particularly the deaf community, at-risk populations such as our youth, immigrants, Native Americans, the aged in nursing home, the sick in hospitals, as well as our children and young adults and adults being formed in our Catholic faith. You are assisting others in their encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ. Your generosity allows this message to continue beyond our own homes and parish walls. Your help with the gospel to be proclaimed throughout all of our communities. Our Pope, Pope Francis, reminds us, we are a church that goes forth beyond our comfort zones and into the peripheries. I ask for your generous financial support in this 2020 annual Catholic appeal. His mercy endures forever. Proclaim the gospel as a way for us to work together to continue our necessary work of evangelizing in our communities. Sincerely yours in the Lord, John Charles Wester, the Most Reverend Archbishop of Santa Fe." That's the ACA, the annual Catholic appeal. Every year we talk about it, and I'm reminded every year of how much I myself have benefited from the annual Catholic appeal. This year we have 16 men who are studying to be priests for our archdiocese. 16 men. 16 men who are giving their lives to Christ. And I recall on my own time within the seminary how I have spent 6 years studying very intensely in some of the most prestigious seminaries, not just in the United States, but in the world. 4 years I was able to sit at the feet of St. Peter himself, the Pope in Rome, to learn and to study. And I know that I myself contributed not even a single cent to my own education. Not that I could have if I was asked to do so. But because of that and because of your generous support throughout these years, we have priests. We have those who are studying in these ways, in addition to all the other things. 21% of what comes in goes directly to help those who are preparing to answer yes to their vocations. I don't need to remind you that there are a number of our own young men, as well as young women, who are discerning their vocations to the priesthood and to the religious life, even from our own parish who is here. And these contributions go toward that same support. Our church, at least I can speak very strongly here in Santa Rosa and Fort Sumner, is very much alive in that way. So I ask you to be generous. I myself, each year, take whatever it is that I make and take my salary for an entire month, cut it in by half, and give that directly in at the very beginning of the annual Catholic appeal, saying, God and the Archdiocese get the first fruits of whatever it is that I make. It's not much, but as priests we don't get much. But it's one way in which I can give back to make sure that the gift that was given to me is in some way repaid in kind. Though I can never give enough for the priesthood and the joy that it is to be a priest and your priest. And so I invite you to do the same. There are some in Fort Sumner especially, among our young ones, just as young as you are, Zaylin, who each and every year, they can't give much. But some in Fort Sumner, they tell me, Father, I give too. They write a check to the Archdiocese through their parents from their allowance, $5 a year. That's a significant amount. And if our young ones, just as young as you in First Communion, are able to inspire us in such a way, how could any of us not give at least something to make sure that the great work of the Archdiocese is completed? Because our mission is to evangelize here and within the whole Archdiocese. What goes on with these funds? A question that I'm asked often is, Father, when we give, I know that we're going through Chapter 11 bankruptcy. I don't want to give to that. I don't want the monies that I have to be taken because evil persons have contributed to evil and then it has been swept under the rug. I don't want any hand with that. I don't either. I'm with you there. But at the same time, all the funds which are gathered there can't go to any of that. That's why it's a separately incorporated foundation. So you have no fear that anything that you give will ever go to anything that is like that. It's all separately done. And it would be, if any monies were that to be used in that way, it would really be illegal because you can't take funds from one pot designated in one direction and put them in a different direction. I know that we are generous in what it is that we do, but our church needs and relies on our generosity, especially in this. Our goal for this year is the same as last year. It hasn't changed. $12,500 is the goal for the parish. This past year, we fell short of that goal by about $2,000, which is very sad, because that was $2,000 that our parish had to take out of our normal operating fund and to contribute in what was lacking in our support for the Holy Archdiocese. Please do be generous in that way. There's more information in the back and in the bulletin to find out how to contribute. Nextly, you may see on the ambo, and you may remember last week I told you at Mass to bring your cell phones. Did you bring them? Take them out right now. Go ahead, Miss Jung, take your cell phone out. You too. Yeah, take your cell phones out. There's an important thing that I'm inviting you to do today. Take your cell phones out. It doesn't matter whether it's a smartphone or whether it's a dumb phone. It works the same. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to go into your text message and text to that number that you see right there that I can't see. It's on the other side right there. Maybe you can see it. What's the number right there? Looks like it's 84576. That's number 84576. Now, why am I asking you to do that? It's because we're beginning a program called FlockNote. FlockNote within our parish. And by doing that, it's going to enable us to stay in closer connection with you. All the groups that we have. If you ever found yourself on a list of a long email chain that goes like that, or a text message chain that has a billion other people on it, and they just reply all sorts of crazy things, and you get overwhelmed by that. FlockNote helps with that. FlockNote helps us to be able to stay in contact with one another with particular groups. There are many things that I like about it, and Joanne and I have been working on it for a number of months already, and we're so happy that it's already been tried out in some of our groups, like the Confirmation and other entities that are there. What it does is FlockNote is a way for us to be able to send pointed contacts to you and whatever's going on within our parish, so you know instantly what's going on. Has there ever been a moment in your life where you realized, because you looked in the paper and you said, oh no, so-and-so passed away. I wish I would have known about it so that I could have gone to their funeral. I could have assisted at their rosary, at least in some sort of way, and now they're already buried and I missed out. All because I didn't check Chavez's funeral website. I didn't know to do so. Well, if you're signed up for this, there's a group that you can personally elect into that lets you know about the funeral. So as soon as Lucy knows what's going on and we have a funeral that's scheduled, she'll send out a blast to anybody who's on there, and you'll know instantly at that very moment without having to check anything. It'll go either directly to your cell phone number or to your email address, whatever it is that you want. If you're an email person, it'll go to your email. If you're a text message person, straight to your cell phone, whatever it is that you prefer. You decide in all these ways. Has there ever been a moment where you've wondered, hey, because of the weather, is Mass canceled? Or is there a funeral that's somehow meaning that we can't have Mass there out in PDL? Or what's going on in that? You can elect to that and to know exactly what's going on with regard to that. Questions about, is today a day that we have our young people involved in catechism? Is there any sort of difficulty that's there? You'll know exactly like that just based on what it is that you yourself elect to. It's so easy, so simple to stay in contact in these ways. A question that was brought up last time, hey, what if, Father, I don't want other people to know my email address. I don't want it to be stolen in some sort of way. I don't want to give that sort of information out. Guess what? It's totally safe and secure in this way because nobody sees anything. You're not on a long email chain. By the way, that's how I got one of the NFL MVP's email addresses, Rich Gannon. Because I was included in one that he was in. So I saw it right there and it kind of freaked me out because there's a lot of other celebrities that were on that email chain that I shouldn't have known about. That's how I found out some of the cardinals in the church. I got their email addresses because of that too, because it was just there. Somebody forgot to carbon copy them in a way. Your email addresses are never shown in this in any sort of way. And you never are a part of an email thread that you don't want to be a part of. It's a great program, and I just ask you to take out your cell phones. Go ahead and sign up. It is in the bulletin if you can't read this on the front of the front of there. If you just go to flocknote.com/St. Rose of Lima or strosalima.flocknote.com, you'll be able to be a part of it. And we want to be able to do that so that we're in close contact with everybody for everything that's going on with regard to our parish. You can find out more information there, but one thing that happened last night I want to share with you. Don't just sign up for everything. Because you probably shouldn't be a part of everything in there. I won't tell you who it is, but there was somebody last night who just clicked every single possible group that was on there just so that they could be informed about everything. This person was an older man, and he signed up to be a part of Junior Catholic Daughters, Hijas de Maria, all these things. Okay, those are ladies' organizations, so we couldn't let him into that. But just sign up for the things that you yourself are a part of or desire to be a part of. And if you're a man and do somehow desire to be a part of the Catholic Daughters, guess what? Go ahead and try that, and we'll see if they let you in. Also, in addition to it, this is something that helps, that I found helpful, because it helps us establish safe environment procedures. All throughout when I was a youth minister, and even in my first few years as a priest, I was always distressed when I'd find out that one of our young people was sending me a text message. When I first got here, I'll rag on her right now. We have a good relationship, so I can. Young Tristan was inviting me over to their family for a barbecue right after I first got here. I didn't know it was young Tristan, though. I thought it was Charla who was speaking to me because she wrote so well, and it was an adult format. And I was horrified to find out when I got there that I was actually texting this young elementary school kid instead of Charla that was there, and immediately made the change to where that wasn't an issue there with regard. So here, that way, we know that our young people are totally protected because there's never any sort of individual thing. It's all out in the open, all save on the history that is there, and there's no individual sort of situation that works like that. We want to make sure that we have the best safe practices so that our young ones are protected in every way. If you have more information, talk to Joanne, talk to me. We'll be able to figure those things out for you. And finally, canon law states that every Sunday and every holy day of obligation that a priest must give a sermon. And so I can't just talk about ACA and Flockno. I have to give you a short sermon as well. Let's hear what the psalmist says. St. David speaks to us in the psalm. He says, "The just man is a light in the darkness to the upright. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Our Lord Jesus, every time he speaks, he chooses his words carefully. He doesn't let anything go off of his lips that he doesn't intend to pass by there. And so we need to listen to them. Pay attention to what he says. The gospel that was proclaimed here today by Deacon Marvin comes from where? His great Sermon on the Mount, which is basically the collection of his greatest sermons, all right there that he delivered us so that we can see exactly what it is that we're called to do. This section, he's explaining to his followers what it is that he expects of them. It's the same thing like any of your coaches would come to you and come before the game and say, "Here's our game plan. We do this, we're successful." Or just like when a military commander goes and gathers his troops, his men and women who are there serving, and says, "Here's our tactics right here. Follow these and we'll be successful and everybody's going to come home safe." So our Lord is gathering his followers and his disciples and saying, "Here it is. Here is your mission, our mission." What's our mission as Catholics? What are we called to do? You and I are called this. It's more what we're called to be. We're called to be salt and light in our world. Salt and light. That's a very real proposition for Crucito's little sister over there, who's Luz. If your name is Luz, this works perfectly for you. Called to be the light of Christ. What is salt? Salt in the ancient world has two purposes. The first purpose is what? It's to take that savor and bring it to the surface that's locked within the food that we have there. The second purpose is to preserve. That's why to keep meats and fruits preserved in some way for a long period of time, you put a thin layer of salt on the outside and to be able to go for the distance in them. The same thing. Our Lord wants to bring out that original goodness that he planted within our souls out to the surface. He wants to make sure that each of us are preserved for the mission that he has called us to. Light. What is light? Light is nothing other than something, light is something that we don't usually think about our need for as much because we have it at the flick of a switch. We have lights on all the time. We don't think about it. But in the ancient world, it wasn't the case. Had to have a single light, and only by the light of that particular candle could one do something into the darkness anytime the sun set. And so what is our Lord calling us to in this? He's trying to remind us about our need for light. Salt and light, these are comparisons to what our mission is supposed to be. What do light and darkness, light and salt have in common with one another? This is the commonality between the two. That both salt and light don't exist for themselves. They exist to do something else. They're not, their purpose isn't a self-centered. They're not self-referential, but they're other-centered. And that's the point of our own lives as Christians. The Christian mission in the world is just like Christ's mission, is to make a difference within the world, within others, to bring all the world in closer contact with God's power and the illumination of the gospel that should be a part of our daily lives. In this mission, what Christ wants to do is he wants to give us a glimpse into what his own sacred heart is. What's God's heart? And that's that he longs for each of us to be convinced of his goodness for us. That he wants us to be able to trust him, to follow him to whatever end is going on within our lives. Yes, to find a modicum of happiness even in this life. But then happiness beyond what we could even hope for or imagine in the life which is to come as we follow him. And this is why when we come closer and closer to God, the more we do that, the more we desire to make a difference in the world for others' lives. That's what happens when our hearts burn with the same desires that Christ's heart has. The saints show us this. Each one of these in our confirmation class have selected a saint, have selected a particular saint that they feel inspired to follow. Here's a saint that I talk about often. Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton. Remember her. She had a long, difficult journey into the Catholic Church. She lived in the 1800s. She was a part of New York high society, both by her birth, but also by her marriage. But when she was living her life as a mother and as a wife, she was left with this restlessness of heart, trying to figure out, where are you, God? I know there's something more out there. What are you calling me to? And so as a non-Catholic Christian, she longed for that deeper relationship with Christ, but had no idea how to find it. And so through the difficulties she was led through, including when she was on a business trip with her young children and her husband, off in Italy, he died right when they got there, leaving them totally without anything in a foreign land. And through that difficulty, she was able to find what God was calling to her as he reached out into her through the example of a good, pious Catholic family that took her in and showed them their own faith. It was through those series of crosses that led her to the Catholic Church where she found what she was looking for in that relationship with Christ in the Eucharist. Body, blood, soul, and divinity, that God is truly present, and that's what filled her soul with joy. When she became a Catholic, she was criticized, she was belittled, she was disinherited even by her friends, by her social circles, and even by her family members who wanted nothing to do with anybody who was Catholic. There still exists a great deal of anti-Catholicism in America today, which was mostly founded on anti-Catholicism. But her deeper intimacy with Christ made all of her sufferings worthwhile. She refused to fall into discouragement or even to self-pity at the difficult situation that she was in. She felt moved to do something more because she looked around, seeing what God did for her, and said, look, I know my children will be taken care of. I have something. But all these Catholic kids have terrible education. They don't know anything. And so she thought, I must go to the bishop and tell him he's got to take care of his children. And when she went to him and said, Bishop, your children know nothing. You got to do something about that. The bishop turned to her and she said, Elizabeth, no, you have to do something about that. And she took that as God's call upon her own life and instantly began forming, how can I do that to expand it? She founded the Missionary Sisters, the Sisters of Charity, which was that first organization here within the United States to begin Catholic schools all throughout the U.S. and Canada. There are five different congregations even to this day between all these areas of the United States and Canada. All of our Catholic school systems here in the United States began with her movement, starting from her seeing what needed to be done and acting upon it in her own life. There are over 7,000 elementary, middle, and high school Catholic schools here in the United States, all of which owe it to that one little woman saying yes in the midst of her own destitute position. That's what our Lord is calling us to. God wants us to bring flavor to this world, to bring light into the darkness that exists here. God could do it on his own just by snapping his fingers, but that's not the way God works. God works through flesh and blood, just like you and me. He wants us to have a share in what his sacred heart is doing. The more and more our hearts see him, the more and more our hearts will burn with the same desires that he himself has. How do we do it? The first reading that was given to us today talks about that. It speaks about that. Young Miss Velasquez read it for us. What does it say? It says, share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, Clothe the naked when you see them, and do not turn your back on your own. Isn't this exactly what the corporal works of mercy are in Matthew chapter 25, that our Lord says in the end, we'll divide it between the sheep and the goats. If you do it, you'll be my sheep. If you don't, you'll be my goats. If you do it, you'll be welcomed into the heavenly glory of God. If you don't do it, you will not find yourself welcomed into the heavenly glory of God. But not everybody's needs are physical. And especially here within our community, there are a lot of people who don't merely have physical needs, but spiritual needs. Which is why the church emphasizes to us that we also got to take care of those spiritual works of mercy. What are the spiritual works of mercy? That's comforting the sorrowful when they're in distress. It's instructing the ignorant. It's admonishing sinners so they can know their wrong ways and turn back to the right way. It's counseling those who are lost in darkness of doubt. It's praying for those who are living, but also for those who have passed on and are dead. It's bearing wrongs that we ourselves have received with patience. It's about forgiving others rather than holding on to grudges of wounds that people have inflicted on us in the past. These are general ways which God is asking us to do. But what is God asking us specifically to do? If you don't know what God is asking you to do with regard to this today, ask Him. Ask the Holy Spirit. You know, God is here present for us every single time we celebrate the Mass. He's right here. He comes down upon that altar, and when He's lifted up, ask Him. Ask Him, what do you want me to do? And the sincere heart that puts the question before God always receives a confirmation, an instruction, and an answer. The Holy Spirit doesn't force anything on us because He's a gentleman. It's not like what the Muslims believe, that they are God's slaves. God is the master, and they must merely submit to God's will. No, our Lord looks at us. And Jesus says, I do not call you servants any longer. No, I call you my friends. Why? Because a slave doesn't know what his master wants. But I've told you everything from my Father. I've brought you a share in my mission. So our Lord wants to do that. He will inspire us to do good ideas, give us those things, but then it's on us to enact them, to work on them. He leaves us free to say yes or no. So as we continue within the celebration of the Mass of Christ's sacrifice, His own perfect yes to Him, we have to ask God for the grace to say yes as well. Even though we've covered a lot of things during the Mass, we've talked about this flock note service, we've spoken about the ACA, which is how we began working on some of those corporal works of mercy. But in this Mass, just allow the beauty of the Eucharist, of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, to inspire you, to encourage us. Because the Mass always gives us exactly what it is that we need to fulfill our mission if we're open to receiving that from Christ. To do it just a little bit better than we did the week before. That's why we come back week after week for the same thing, saying, help me a little more, make me open a little bit more to what you want me to do. What's your mission as Catholics? What's our mission as Christians here within the world? It's to be salt for a world that's lost its savor and its taste. It's to be light for a world that is lost in darkness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.